uttered in the prophecies of old. It seemed almost impossible to think it could be true, but as she pondered in her heart, she knew that this was heaven's child. This was heaven's child. In an earthen stable, wrapped in glory meek and mild, Joseph wept with wonder as Mary sweetly smiled, because they knew this was heaven's child. The angels must have missed him as they sang him to sleep, but they marveled at the promises this baby came to keep. His father must have felt at once great sadness and great joy as he watched his little baby born. 'Cause this was heaven's child. This was heaven's child. In an earthen stable, wrapped in glory meek and mild, Joseph wept with wonder as Mary sweetly smiled, because they knew this was heaven's child. Mary's little baby boy was Joseph's pride and joy. Still they wished the world could see that he was so much more. He was heaven's child. He was heaven's child. In an earthen stable, wrapped in glory meek and mild, Joseph wept with wonder as Mary sweetly smiled, this was heaven's child, because they knew this was heaven's child.
Day. This Christmas day, we see homes that are decorated, we see bright lights, we see Christmas trees, we see presents, we see displays, many different things that are associated with Christmas Day. And you know, many businesses today depend on the sales they get from the Christmas season to survive. And just recently, there's been a couple of new terms that are associated with Christmas Day, with the Christmas season. One of those is Black Friday. How many of you have heard of Black Friday? Do you know what that is? What's Black Friday? It's the day after Thanksgiving. It's the largest shopping day of the year, but it's the first day that they go into black for the whole year. In other words, they've been losing money up till that day. They call it Black Friday because that's the first day that they start making a profit. Another term is Cyber Monday. How many of you have heard of Cyber Monday? Not too many. What is Cyber Monday? The Internet orders. That Cyber Monday is the Monday after Thanksgiving when the Internet orders start pouring in by the millions. So we see some characteristics here of Christmas, don't we? Of what it does to the economy this Christmas season. People spend lots of money buying presents. You know, many of these people celebrate Christmas, but they don't worship Jesus Christ, do they? It's a time of celebration. But not really worshiping Christ. Kind of a strange concept, isn't it? And I can assure you that many people who are there on the day after Thanksgiving buying their Christmas presents and on that internet that next Monday making those purchases do not think of Christ at all. They don't think of Him. That's not what Christmas is about to them. It's about these other things. But let's read here why Christ is so important to us and so important to them also. Those people that don't even think about Him. Let's turn to 1 Nephi chapter 3. Verse 4 is on page 24. It's one verse. Yea, even 600 years from the time that my father left Jerusalem, a prophet would the Lord God raise up among the Jews. Yea, even a Messiah. Or in other words, a Savior of the world. That's who this Jesus Christ is. He is a Savior of the world. He is our Savior. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi, chapter 11, verses 35 and 36. This is on page 142. For according to the words of the prophets, the Messiah cometh in 600 years from the time that my father left Jerusalem. And according to the words of the prophets, and also the word of the angel of God, his name shall be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's who this Jesus Christ is. He is the very Son of God. Let's skip down to verse 39. Yea, behold, I say unto you, that as these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ, of which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. Pretty important, isn't he? Pretty important. No other name given under heaven, save this Jesus Christ, whereby man can be saved. That is the only way to salvation, is through Jesus Christ. That's why He's important to us, and He's important to those people out there, and He's important to the whole world. Let's turn over to Mosiah, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This is on page 220. I say unto you, that if ye have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God, and His matchless power, and His wisdom, and His patience, and His long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in faith even unto the end of his life. I mean the life of the mortal body. Now we know that this Jesus Christ made this atonement for us. He died on the cross for our sins so that we would be able to have salvation. It says here that we should put our trust in the Lord. And we should be diligent in keeping His commandments. There are things required. There are things required for us to obtain this salvation. And continue in the faith until the end of this life. That is what is required of us if we are to obtain the salvation. But what I want to focus on this day is these words in this scripture, trust in the Lord. That's the title of my sermon today. And how important that is, that we put our complete trust in our Lord. You know, sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to completely put our trust in our Lord. Especially when times are bad. We all have wants and desires and needs. And sometimes we think that we maybe know better than God of how things should be or what we should have. Whether we should be getting this in this time frame, which is not God's time frame. And we know that our thoughts are not God's thoughts. His thoughts are a much higher plane than ours. He can see the big picture. He knows what's good for us. He knows what's bad for us. He knows what we need in our lives. And if we put our trust in Him, He will provide those things for us. But we need to learn to completely trust in the Lord. Completely trust in Him. At all times, and for all things. That complete trust. Not just in good times. It's a lot easier to trust the Lord in good times, isn't it? As things are going well. But also in bad times. When things aren't going well. And we don't understand what God has in store for us. Put our trust in Him. And He will see us through. Not just when we have a good job, but when we have no job. And I know many of you are going through that. Looking for jobs. Put your trust in Him wherever you're at. Not just in good health, but in sickness. Not just in times of joy and happiness, but in times of sadness and sorrow. Put our trust in the Lord that He has things in control. That He has our best interests at heart. Not just when we have plenty, but when we stand in need. We need to, at all times in our life, have that complete trust in our Lord. That He is going to take care of us. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Do we really do this? I don't want to see a show of hands, but think in your heart. Do you really do this all the time completely? Do you trust in the Lord with all thine heart? All thine heart. Do we put that trust in Him? And lean not unto thine own understanding. It's hard, isn't it? Because we see things one way, and God sees them another way. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. If we put our complete trust in Him, He will direct our paths in all instances. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 17, verse 3. This is on page 434. Alma 17, verse 3. And now, O my son Helaman, behold, thou art in thy youth, and therefore I beseech of thee that thou wilt hear my words and learn of me. For I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions, and shall be lifted up at the last day. What a great promise that is to us. We don't need to worry about these things. We don't need to worry about it. We don't need to worry about it if we don't have a job. We need to look for a job and put our trust in God. It says here that He will support us in our trials, in our troubles, in our afflictions, and He will lift us up at the last day. What a great promise that is to us. Let's turn over to Psalms 23, 1 through 6. The 23rd Psalm, very familiar to us. But what a beautiful psalm it is, of comfort and peace. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful psalm this is. The Lord is my shepherd. He is our shepherd. He is our caretaker. He is there to look after us and to watch over us. I shall not want. We will not want for the things that we need in this life if we put our trust in Him, put our faith in Him. You know, we can't put our trust in the things of the world. I'm sure that's very plain to us. When we see how things change and how you can't depend on the things of this world. But there's so many people out there that that's the only thing they put their trust in. They're the ones that don't think about Christ at Christmas time. The economy. Can we trust the economy? If you put some money in a stock, can you be sure that it's going to climb steadily forever? If you put some money in a savings account or a CD at 6% interest, can you be sure you're going to get 6% interest? Absolutely not. Not too long ago, I think the CDs were paying like 1%. Where 5 or 6 years ago, they were paying 6%. Can't depend on those things. Jobs. Can you depend on having a high-paying job? God will provide for us. But it may be volatile. This world is becoming a global economy. Some of our higher paying jobs are going overseas. Companies are cutting wages. The Lord will provide for us. But maybe we won't be able to buy all the things that we thought we needed or thought we wanted. General Motors, one time the largest company in the world. It's not the largest company now. It's still big. But if he'd went back 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and talked that General Motors, the largest company in the world, might be facing bankruptcy, people would have thought you were crazy. That's where they're at today. They haven't filed yet. But they're very close. The money we have in savings, identity theft. You know, I go to the credit union and take money out of my savings account. You don't have to fill out anything at my credit union. You just give them your identification. You give them your account number, and they give you your money. You want $100, they give you money, they give you a receipt, and you sign it. But you know what? They bring your account up, and how do you get that $100? They push one little button. And that $100 is gone from your account, and they hand it to you. Can we depend that somebody won't get in there and push that button? And our savings will be gone. Can't depend on those things. Computers, where your money is stored at the credit union. Everything's stored in a computer somewhere. Can you depend on computers? You can't depend on them. They're going to crash. If you have a computer at home, it is going to crash. Sooner or later, it's going to crash. And you can back it up. You can get you a nice little CD and back it up. Or a floppy disk. Can you guarantee that that won't crash? No, you can't. Volatile. The transportation system. We saw gas go to over $3 a gallon. We've gone through shortages. Retirement. Can we count on retirement? Today, companies are cutting pensions. They're cutting medical benefits for retirees. Many of these companies, their retirement funds are underfunded. The airline industry, they're filing bankruptcy and dumping their pension plans. Give them to the government to pay only part of your benefits so they can save money, to be competitive. Wars, terrorism. These things won't end until Christ returns. They're not going to end. Natural disasters, hurricanes, drought. Some of the people along the Gulf Coast have lost their homes. Many have lost their homes. Some will never be rebuilt. To rebuild them all would take years. One day they had their home and their things, whatever was important to them, their important papers. The next day, they're gone. There's an article in the paper last month about Brazil. The worst drought in 40 years plaguing Amazon. While hurricanes thousands of miles away battered the United States and the Caribbean with water and wind, the residents of this fishing town in the deep Amazon watched the lake they depend on for food and transportation shrivel away. Hundreds of thousands of Brazilians across seven states have been hit this year by the Amazon region's worst drought in four decades. The result, meteorologists say, of warmer ocean water, which also is being blamed for one of the most violent hurricane seasons on record around the Gulf of Mexico. One person says, if this continues, we won't be able to live here anymore. Scientists say the drought is part of a climatic shift that's overturned the lives of millions around the Western Hemisphere this year. Water temperatures in the North Atlantic and the Gulf of Mexico have been as much as 3.6 degrees higher than normal. That helped feed the hurricanes that devastated the U.S. Gulf Coast and the Caribbean. It also helped generate warmer than normal air currents that poured into the Amazon basin and prevented rain clouds from forming. Kind of strange, isn't it? The temperature in the Gulf comes up a few degrees. So in one direction, you get hurricanes and torrential rain. The other direction, no rain. Drought. Caused by the same thing. This year, some of the towns received only a fifth of their normal rainfall. Water levels on the Amazon and other rivers have dropped by as much as 33 feet. Natural disasters. They're going to be with us in this world. Natural resources. Our fossil fuels, our coal and oil and natural gas, our forests, these natural resources that we depend on. Eventually, they would be depleted. There's not enough of these natural resources to last forever. You know, in the last 100 years, We've had more technology, more things invented than all the previous history combined. All those thousands of years, more in the last 100 years. It's the same with our natural resources. We've used more natural resources in the last 100 years than all of previous history. You think there's enough to last forever? There's not. Look at Phoenix. I think the valley, the population is around 3 million. I don't know, it's probably a little more than that now. We'll just use 3 million for a round number. And people are moving in to the valley at about 10,000 a month. 120,000 people a year are moving into this valley. Think our water is going to last forever? In 10 years, we'd have 4.2 million people. In 100 years, we'd have 15 million people. In 1,000 years, we'd have 123 million people. Think there's enough resources to last? There's not. Can you imagine the water shortages, the traffic, the pollution in this valley? The earth is not going to last forever. We know that it's going to fade away. It's going to be replaced with a new heaven and a new earth. But it is going to last long enough for Christ's purposes, for God's purposes. I don't say these things to discourage you. Just the opposite. I say these things to encourage you. Are you encouraged? Maybe not. But we have to understand how this world is. How these workings of this world is. And when we understand those things, we understand how we are running out of natural resources. How the volatile economy, the terrorism, all of these things coming together. That then we understand that we have to put our total and complete trust in our Lord. That is our only hope. To put that trust in our Lord and Savior. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." There is a time and a season for all of these things. But our Lord has these things under control. We must worship our Lord and put our trust in Him and not put our trust in those things of the world that will be gone someday anyway. He will take care of us. He's not going to leave us alone. Through all of these things, He will be there for us. God has placed each one of us here in this time. He knows our needs. He has a purpose for each one of us. All these things I've talked about, He knows about all those things much better than we do. Some of these things, some of this technology that's been developed in this last 100 years, will allow us to spread this gospel to the world. Part of His plan. He knew that to efficiently spread this gospel in these last days, that we would need this technology. He has a plan for each one of us. We have to understand that. We have to believe that. But we also have to realize that just because He has a plan for us does not mean that we will fulfill that plan. It doesn't mean that we're going to do those things He has planned for us. That's up to us. That's up to us whether we're willing to worship Him and put our faith and trust in Him and make ourselves available to fulfill His plan. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." We will be blessed if we put our trust in the Lord and we put our hope in Him. Put our hope in our Lord and Savior. And not put our hope in the things that this world can provide. 2 Nephi chapter 3, verses 61 to 66. It's on page 94. "O Lord, I have trusted in Thee, and I will trust in Thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm." So we can see what happens to those that put their faith and trust in the things of this world. They are cursed. "Yea, I know that God will give liberally to them that asketh, yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto Thee. Yea, I will cry unto Thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto Thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen." If we put our trust in our Lord, He will help us through all these things. In Psalms 3, verse 6, it says, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." It doesn't matter what the odds are on this earth. We know that the church is going to be small, very small in the last days, which we are living in. But God can protect us from all these tens of thousands or millions of adversaries. God can do things in so many miraculous ways. Let's turn over to Joshua chapter 24. Verses 11 through 14. "And he went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them unto your hand." Let's see how He delivered them. "And I sent the hornet before you that drave them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. He sent hornets. Can you imagine if we had plagues of hornets, and every time you walked out your door, there were thousands of hornets there to sting you and to hear that buzzing sound? Do you think you'd want to live in Phoenix? Well, of course, in our wisdom here today, what would we do? We'd call exterminator, wouldn't we? We get rid of those hornets. But if those hornets were sent by God, those exterminators are not going to work, are they? Believe me, if you walked out your door every time you got out of the car, every time you got out of work, every time you got out of the house, and there were thousands of hornets there, you wouldn't live here very long. That's what the Lord did. He sent hornets and drove those people out. Verse 13, "And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat? The Lord provided those things in miraculous ways. Let's turn over to Daniel, chapter 3, starting in verse 14. A very familiar story to us. We know that in this story that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up a golden image, and he required the people, he required everyone to bow down when they played this music, to bow down and worship this image. We haven't faced anything like that yet, have we? I haven't. I haven't faced anything like that, even close to that. But let's see what happens here. Of what the Lord did. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" I'm sure he was shocked. "Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast that same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Pretty stiff consequences, wasn't there? "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Do you think they trusted in the Lord? They had complete trust in the Lord, didn't they? And no matter what the consequences were, they were not going to bow down to this golden image. They were going to serve the Lord God. And they said, if the Lord delivers us out, we know that the Lord can deliver us out. But if he doesn't, we don't care. You can throw us in that fiery furnace because we trust in the Lord. And what if they would have perished in that fiery furnace? They would have had salvation, wouldn't they? And then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And we know that this furnace 7 times hotter. And we know that these men threw them in there. And even the men that threw them in there were killed. Yet, as they looked in there, they saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking around. And there was a fourth person in there. Verse 25, he answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fires had no power, nor was an hair on their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on to them. Completely bypassed all of nature, didn't it? A miracle of God. They were not hurt at all. Not even have the smell of smoke after walking out of this fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." An example of what God can do for us if we put our trust in Him. This is very extreme, isn't it? This is the extreme edge. But God was mindful of them. And He protected them. You know, God is mindful of all of His creation. Our cats, in the fall, they start getting this thick coat of fur. They look like Arctic foxes. Starts getting there in the fall, and by the time it's winter and it's cold, they have this thick layer of fur to keep them warm in these cold nights. And then in the spring, you can look out in our yard and you'll see big clumps of fur that has fallen out of these cats because they're getting their summer coat. Was God mindful of them? Sure He is. He set these things in motion in nature to provide for those animals that He created. He's mindful of them. And if He's mindful of these animals, think how much more mindful He is of us. Let's turn over to Mosiah, chapter 5, verses 28 to 30. It's on page 229. "Therefore, lift up your heads and rejoice, and put your trust in God, in that God who was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and also that God who brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and caused that they should walk through the Red Sea on dry ground, and fed them with manna, that they might not perish in the wilderness. And many more things did he do for them. And again, that same God hath brought our fathers out of the land of Jerusalem, and hath kept and preserved his people even until now. Another example of God's great power in protecting his people. You know, in Proverbs 16, verse 20, it says, "Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." If we completely put our trust and our faith in our Lord and Savior, we don't need to worry about the cares of life, the trials of life, or the problems that we might have. And we can only find true joy and true happiness through our worship and through our trust in our Lord and Savior. Thank you.